Welcome to the show Business Rumbler, where we discuss and learn new skills, mindsets, strategies, and other useful tools on how to start and operate a business. My goal on this podcast is to make business education accessible to everyone and to create business community that will help cultivate an entrepreneurial mentality and mindset for everyone interested. While you're listening to this podcast, I recommend you to make some notes. It is better if you have access to paper and a pen. However, if you prefer making notes on your phone or tablets, that's perfect as well. If you get lost or overloaded, you can always refer to the transcript of each episode. For those of you who are experienced enough to find these episodes quite basic, I recommend you to stick to this sequence anyway, because complexity will gradually increase over time. For anyone starting from scratch with no money to begin, I'm going to provide you a piece of the solution. We'll discuss how to find an investor, the best place to start with your contact in your phone. I hope by now you have completed the homework from the previous two episodes, compiling a list of 20 possible niches you may start in, selecting three of these 20, and conducting initial research that could lead you to your business. Even if you already have a business, using this tactic can still yield valuable information about your competitors. You can implement this information on a trial basis, and if it works, incorporate it into your business model. I have said it before, and I will say it again. Your competitors are your best teachers. Returning to your phone's contact book, this is the best list of potential investors. For those of you who have parents or friends capable of investing in your business, simply approach them. Some business books recommend approaching investment companies or funding organizations. However, if you're starting from scratch and don't have a proven profitable and scalable business model, trust me, 99% of time you will be ignored. The same statistics apply to spamming on social media. Less than 1% of you will be lucky enough to find an investor this way. I don't want you to rely too heavily on chance. That's why I strongly recommend avoiding these tactics and methodologies at this stage. For those with a currently working business model, we'll discuss this topic in future episodes, so stay tuned. If you have been following the previous two episodes, you should understand by now the importance of having a business idea that replicable, profitable, and scalable, especially if you have no background in business or have no funds to launch. You definitely need to seek investors. Some people think investors are evil and take away your control, but this is not always the case. If you want your business to grow quickly, it will be quite difficult to do so without external funds. When searching for funds, strictly separate terms like investment from loan or credit. I have seen many times when people say they found an investor who offered $100,000, but it needs to be repaid within a year with a 15% interest, for example. This is not an investment, it is a loan. It doesn't matter whether you get it from a bank, a microfinance company, or an individual. I suggest you to look specifically for investors. Start with your contacts. Simply write a message. Hello there. Recently, I decided to start a business. I calculated the numbers and they look good. Here's a brief description of my business. If you're interested, let me know. I'll be waiting for any feedback. Thank you. You can post it as a story and send it to all the people you know. I cannot say that this will work all the time or for everyone. However, this method is empirically proven to be more reliable than spamming or contacting business angels or other investment companies. For some of you, this might be a tricky moment because you might start to worry about what people will think of you. You might fear looking foolish or failing and having everyone know. People who laugh at you and say things like, you're going to fail or lose money, are not the ones to talk about business with. Even if they are close to you, this could include your mother, father, or spouse. I have a couple friends who have been running their businesses for several years and are quite successful. Their mothers still say one should be a doctor and another a lawyer, even though both make more money in a month than an average lawyer or doctor does in a year. One of them told his mother, "My dear mom, I love you and I respect all you have done for me. However, we don't talk about business and my career anymore." This is when you can see who resonates with your ambitions. A self-made business person will never make fun of you for deciding to start a business because they know they went through the same journey. Imagine yourself as a kid learning to walk. No matter how many times you fall, you keep trying to walk. Pause this episode if you have limited funds and send the message I mentioned earlier to all the people you know. This can work for you as an irreversible loop. Just pause this episode and send the message. If you successfully arrange several meetings or phone calls to discuss your business idea, trust me, it works better in person, just statistically. I don't want to give you an exact script on how to talk or explain your business model. Simply demonstrate the data you have gathered, the margin per unit, and how you plan to scale. At this moment, you don't ask for money to start a business, but to test your business model. You might ask, shouldn't I request a larger amount of money to start a business instead of just for testing? First, I advocate being honest and prudent. There is always a chance you might fail, and I believe that the money you take from an investor should be returned. And even if you fail and have no money at the moment, return it in pieces or later. Trust and business make a huge difference. When people trust you, they want to work with you and be partners, co-founders, co-investors, or whatever it might be. Prove that they can trust your word and that you are a reliable person. The simple idea you bring with your business model is that you will test your ideas to create MVP. For those unfamiliar with MVP, it stands for a minimum viable product. Basically, it is a prototype of your service or product. The amount of money needed for testing varies depending on your business and the person you ask. I leave this decision to your prudence. Don't be greedy. Remember that you need money to test a business idea. On average, $5,000 to $10,000 is more than enough. By this moment, you might be questioning this approach, wondering, why shouldn't I look for funding for the entire business instead of just for testing? My answer is simple. You cannot predict the outcome. You may assume that your idea will be undeniably successful, but trust me, there are no guarantees in this game, only opportunities. You need to demonstrate that your business idea works, and this proof must come not from your own assurances based on observations, but from people who are actually ready to pay or have already paid. In a few episodes after we follow several essential steps for a quick start, we will discuss further options for seeking investments. Let me quickly describe MVP. It stands for Minimum Viable Product. In basic terms, it is the simplest version of your product you need to build to sell it. With MVP, you make a small move with lower risk to your budget or business, allowing you to test, refine, and grow step by step by uncovering market interest in your product. Here's an example for those who think not everything can be tested. For instance, cafes or restaurants. One of my previous clients tested the idea of a small coffee shop by using a signboard without actually opening cafe. She paid to make signboard close to road that it would be visible to pedestrians and drivers. After she spent several days counting the number of people who came in for coffee, apologizing for inconvenience, and explaining that she was testing demand. Making a signboard is way cheaper than setting up the entire business. After testing several spots using this tactic, she opened her first cafe and went profitable from the very beginning. When you're creating your MVP, make it as simple as possible. Don't try to cover all needs or solve everyone's problem in the market. Focus on a small group of people or businesses, depending whether you run a business-to-business or business-to-client model. Once it is proven to be profitable, expand your product slowly, step by step, adding features, improving or making other alterations. I may have given you too much information to fathom and perform. To make simple, keep in mind these two quotes: test fast, fail fast, and test before investing. The first one means you will make mistakes, and you will make a lot of them. It is essential, and there is no way around it. Returning to your niche, it is not your destiny or fate. It is just a niche you are testing. If it doesn't work, switch quickly to the next one. Don't have a next one? Keep searching. Don't try invent things. Do something that has been done before. If you feel ashamed of replicating someone's business model, I recommend watching the movie The Founder. It is an amazing movie about how McDonald's was created. Or look at Tesla. Elon Musk didn't invent it from scratch, but he was a crucial reason why we see Teslas on the road today. The second quote means that before investing a large amount of money in any business, test it. Once it is proven to be profitable and scalable, keep going further. Additionally, invest your time in understanding how your potential competitors distribute their product or service. If you still don't have a clear idea of how to distribute your product, go to where your competitors are and observe until you start seeing the patterns and methods they use to sell. In the description, I will provide a table with the 6 basic questions. If you can't answer at least 5 of them positively, you're good to go with the chosen niche. By now, you should have completed the following steps. First one, niche is chosen. Second, market analysis is conducted. Third one, you have searched for distribution channels and you are familiar with them. And fourth, who knows, maybe you have made your first sales. Your homework for today is to go through MVP and create a scheme or table that fully describes all processes and features of your product. In the next episode, we will discuss how to make an offer and your first sales. If you're enjoying or learning from this podcast, please subscribe on both Spotify and Apple. A 5-star review is a wonderful way to support us. And if you know someone who might find this podcast useful, please share it with them. If you have any questions, feel free to email us at the address mentioned in the description. See you next time. This is Levi, signing off.